To say to the person next to you, I am blessed and highly favored. It does us a lot of good to speak the truth about ourselves, doesn't it? Yes, if you don't know that, you need to know that, because it's very powerful, even when you don't feel like it, to speak the truth about yourself. And we met a little girl called Megan, probably 20 odd years ago, maybe more, an American girl. We were friends with her mum and dad, and we went over there for a few weeks of ministry, and she was about 5 or 6 years old at the time. And every time you said to her, Megan, how are you? I'm not going to attempted in practice an American accent. It was terrible, so I won't put that on you. But she would reply, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you? And that kind of took me aback a bit at first. But then I realized, you know what? What a great response from a little girl. What an absolutely fantastic response. How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. It was good for us to hear it, but it was actually doing her a lot of good to say it. And so often, we just think and speak about how we feel. Just raise your hands if you do that from time to time. We know we shouldn't. We've heard enough messages, haven't we, on the power of confession, particularly the power of negative confession. But we just want to be honest, don't we? You know, we just want to... There's actually a proverb, Proverbs 29, verse 11, that says, wait for it, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Just repeat that after me. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. And we somehow, in our natural mind, think if we can vent all our feelings, we'll feel better. But who knows? You certainly do not feel better. Actually, we sabotage our own faith. And you end up feeling a whole lot worse because the problems get bigger. It's like putting fertilizer on your problems. They actually get bigger and kind of more difficult in your own eyes, don't they? Yes, they do, Pastor Angie, that's right. We've all experienced that. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should deny our problems, but we do need a but God. I've said this so many times before, but I'm... not apologizing for saying it again. We need a but God. The situation is this. The facts might be this. But God. But God in our thinking. But God in our speaking. And I've written down here, we need to be militant in the way we handle problems, difficulties. Soldiers learn skills off the battlefield so that once they're on the battlefield, they don't waver, they don't falter. It's been drilled into them, this is what I do in this situation, and so that they do whatever they're trained to do to win, no matter how they feel, if they're in a good mood or a bad mood when they're on that battlefield, no matter what the conditions are like, they do what they know to do, what they're trained to do to win. And this morning, I want to speak to you. We've got a title of the message on the screen. I want to speak to you about how we respond to difficult circumstances. Or to put it more briefly, dealing with trouble. Dealing with trouble. We need to know how to deal with trouble, don't we, church? There was a German philosopher. I don't know if I'm going to get his name right. He's called Nietzsche. And he said, you probably know this quote, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Anybody heard of that one? Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And in one sense, he's right if we do it God's way. You know, if we face trouble God's way with his word and with his spirit, doing what he tells us to do with faith in him, we get a good outcome. Jesus actually said it in a far more positive way, of course. In Romans 8, verse 28, he said, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Don't we love that scripture? Isn't that a lovely one? We like to say it to each other. We like it on a fridge magnet. We like it. We write it in cards. I've written that in countless cards. Because it's true. It's absolutely true. And, you know, we say to one another, well, life might be shocking right now. But in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But I think quite often, somehow, we miss the condition. It's kind of hidden in there in a way. And the condition is the good part, God working for our good, happens because we love him. And love from God's perspective is not an emotion. You know, getting misty-eyed when you hear your favourite worship song come on. I'm not saying he doesn't love that response because he loves us to be tender-hearted towards him. But love from God's perspective, real love, is action. Or, in other words, obedience. So you could read it, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who obey him and have been called according to his purpose. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. So if we love him, we'll obey him. If we obey him, we can be confident all things will work together for our good. It cannot fail. We will always come out on top. It might not be instant. It might not even be in the way we think. But we can be confident if we love him, allow him to be Lord, allow him to lead us, he will work all things together for our good. You know, it's not that we obey him perfectly all the time, because somehow we don't seem to, do we? Let's face it. We don't have 100% perfect record all the time, but scripture tells us to aim for perfection, doesn't it? Just say to the person next to you, aim for perfection. Okay, we need to aim for it. We need to make it our goal to be obedient. And our obedience actually is a guarantee of a blessed life. Praise God. However, and here's the big but, we go through stuff. Life throws some stuff at us and often we don't see it coming. We live in a fallen world and we live with a lot of fallen people and we have an enemy. Don't we, church? Yes, we do. And Jesus warned us in John 16, verse 33. I'm sure you know this scripture. In this world, you will have trouble. Everyone say trouble. Trouble. Okay. And I don't think there's anybody here has any problem believing that. I think it's probably one promise we've all seen fulfilled. Yes, we have. We've all seen trouble. But my question to you this morning is, what do you do when trouble comes? How do you respond when trouble comes your way? Where do you turn to? If you are in the habit of listening to the Lord, in trouble, you will turn to him. If you are in the habit of listening to the world, when trouble comes, you will turn to the world. And you don't need me to tell you, but I'm going to anyway. The world is a very pitiful place to turn to when you are in trouble, because actually its resources are very limited. Its wisdom is limited. Its power and ability actually is limited. There's only so much help it can and will offer you when you're in trouble. And very often that help is not enough. Its protection is not enough. Its medicine is not enough. Its money is not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. And King David, in Psalm 63, verse 1, when he referred to the world, he spoke of it like this. He says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He referred to the world as a dry and thirsty land. He recognized this natural world he was living at his days in. It didn't have what he needed for life. It's a dry and thirsty place. But the good news is, Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. We're in it, but we don't have to be dependent on it. We can be, it's our choice, we don't have to be. I love to think of myself like this. I'm in the world, but my roots are in heaven, or my roots are in Jesus. And it's really good to ask yourself these questions. I've got a couple of questions here for you. What are my roots in? And where do I draw my life source from? Where do I get my wisdom from? Where do I get my confidence from? Where do I get my direction in life from? When I don't know what to do, who do I turn to? And actually, it becomes very clear. You can figure it out quite quickly if you answer this question 3. When trouble comes, where do I turn to first for help? Jesus or Google? Really? Jesus or the credit card? Jesus or? Jesus or? Jesus or? Now, I'm not being unrealistic. Of course, we need the world's resources. We'd die pretty quickly if we didn't go to the supermarket. Sometimes we need a doctor. Sometimes, you know, we need advice. However, who do you turn to first? In this world, we have tribulation. The Amplified actually says trials, distresses, and frustrations. Storms come, okay? Trouble and persecution. Now, trouble and persecution come because of our own stupidity, let's be honest, can't it? Or in other words, our sin. Scripture puts it as bluntly as that. But if we listen to Jesus, we can avoid that kind of trouble. But there's another kind of persecution that comes. And Jesus warned us of it. He said, persecution comes for righteousness' sake. You know, you're kind of just, through no fault of your own, going along, living for Jesus, being a child of God. But because we have an enemy, trouble comes. So I want to do here's the recap. Trouble comes for 2 reasons: our own stupidity or sin, or because we have an enemy who will operate in circumstances and through other people. Either way, God is so good and so gracious, he will deliver us from both if, and here's the big if, we cry out to him. I love Psalm 34. I love Psalms full stop, but Psalm 34, verses 4-6 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Big issue right there, our fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. If we cry out to the Lord, he will save us, deliver us from all our fears, save us from all our troubles. If that's not good news, I don't know what is. Fear's horrible, trouble's horrible, but he will deliver us from both if we cry out to him. See, it's not automatic. Just because you're a believer, don't think you're going to be delivered. You'll be delivered if you cry out to him. It's relational, you see. It comes through relationship. Seeking him. Think of the roots. The roots in barren times, dry times, those roots have to go seeking for the water, right? If we seek him, we find him. Okay? I need God. Do you know you need God in a storm? Lord, I need to hear you in this storm. Stuff's going on. I don't know which way to turn. What are you saying? What are you saying? Jesus will prepare us for a storm. And Jesus will lead us through a storm if we let him. There's a thing, isn't it? It's that condition, if we let him. And we need to be storm ready, church, don't we? Because even if the sky is blue and the sun is shining and the birds are singing for you at the moment, congratulations, I'm happy for you. However, the forecast is storms are going to come. Sorry to tell you this, but actually to be forewarned is to be forearmed. To say to the person next to you, this really is an encouraging message. If we're prepared, you see, we won't go under. We'll come up and over. Like a cork, come bobbing to the surface, up and over. Last Friday, Pastor Judas mentioned it already, this terrible storm, a week ago last Friday, 25th of August, this awful, awful storm hit the American coastline, didn't it? Texas coastline. They say it's the worst storm they've seen in 12 years. Thousands of people have been displaced. They say 30,000 people have been made homeless, homes destroyed, businesses destroyed. And these floodwaters apparently have brought in a whole load of alligators. Don't know if you've seen that bit on the news. I've seen photos of alligators in garages, in yards, alligators under cars. I mean, we get a bit bothered if we see a cat under the car. Imagine going out and finding that under your car tomorrow morning, you know? But the point I want to make is before this storm hit, a warning went out. And actually tens of thousands of people fled inland to safety. To safety. Now, we're not called to flee from trouble, but the Lord does warn us about it if we have ears to hear. Storms will come, okay? But he wants us to live ready. I know I do a lot of say, well, let's just say it out loud. I need to live ready. I need to live ready. There's no good picking up your Bible when the storm hits and kind of trying to get crisis faith. We need to pick it up every day before so that there's a supply on the inside ready. I'm ready. I'm armed. I'm ready. Okay, we need that store of faith. My goodness. When trouble hits our health, we need a supply of faith. Ready. Trouble hits our relationships, we need a supply of faith. Ready. Trouble hits your finances, you need a supply of faith. Ready. Where do you go to for help? When the storm hits, where's your first port of call? Kind of sobering, isn't it? The world or Jesus, really? Natural resources or God resources? I'm just going to read to you. In fact, we've got it up on the screen, I think. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and it goes on, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Get your helmet on. Think right. Think the will of God. Is this sickness the will of God? Is this strife the will of God? Is this debt and lack the will of God? Helmet on. No. And then we need a sword in our hand. Lord, what are you saying? What word are you speaking to me? And then we get the promise and we use it like a sword. And we believe and we speak. We believe it and we speak it. We look at the circumstances, no matter how contrary they are, and if we sow it into ourselves, we will believe it and then we can speak it. And the eternal word of God will change the temporary. The eternal, I love that. Everything we see now is temporary, yet this eternal word of God can change the temporary. As awful as it is, we have to remind ourselves, this is temporary. This is temporary. Just say to the person next to you, the eternal word of God can change the temporary. Okay, praise God. Okay, so we've got the helmet on. We've got the sword in our hands. We need to get the shield of faith up because, let's face it, the enemy and the trouble he brings attacks our hearts and our minds, and we need to protect them. We need a shield to protect them, don't we? The enemy actually lies and paints a picture. He paints a picture of disaster and loss. When you look at the facts, when you're going through a storm, when you're going through trouble, you look at the natural facts and you kind of consider where this is going, it paints a picture of disaster and loss. We need a faith picture then from the word of God in our hearts and in our minds. And we need to believe it and we need to speak it. And we need to believe it and we need to speak it. It's the way God operates. It's the way he made the universe. It's the way he made this planet we're living on. He believed it and he spoke it. And you know, before the Lord started talking to the earth, it was a mess. Do you remember right back in Genesis, a wasteland? It says it was without form, an empty waste, a mess. But he looked beyond those negative circumstances, didn't he? He looked beyond what he could see. He saw, actually, that formless waste. And he believed and he spoke. He saw the earth through faith eyes and he said, "Let there be light." Genesis 1 verse 3, and light was. Amazing. He spoke what he wanted to see, and it brought it to pass. So how do you see what you see? The circumstances of your life, how do you see what you see? Are you just looking at the facts? Or are you looking at the facts through faith eyes? We need, number one, to get a faith picture from the Word of God, and number two, we need to believe and speak what we want to see. Get a faith picture from God, believe and speak what you want to see. And in a storm, things look impossible, don't they? They look, you know, it's like at night. At night, everything seems 10 times worse. In a storm, things look so awful. And we can't change the impossible. But we can believe and speak. We can stand in the face of a storm and we can believe and speak. And actually, that's all the Lord asks us to do. Look at this through faith eyes. Believe and speak. Believe and speak. The enemy tells us it's not going to work. But Jesus says, just stand, do what I've told you to do, and you're going to be amazed. Only believe, you will see the glory of God. Do it like I do it. Storms come. Sometimes we go through a valley of the shadow of death, don't we? Everything looks threatening, but if we know he's with us, we will fear no evil. Who is with you? At work? At home? In your car? In the places you find difficult? With the people you find difficult? Who is with you? Who are you aware of? Who are you more aware of? Yourself and your weaknesses and your limitations, or the greater one? The greater one in us. If we're aware of him, we can rise up and over. I love Moses. Moses said, unless your presence goes with me, I'm not going. Wise man. He knew God's presence was his only hope of success, didn't he? And I love what it says about Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 27. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Everybody say, endure. Endure. We can endure trouble when we see the invisible. When we look to the invisible one, can't we? 2 Chronicles 20, when all the enemies gathered against God's people, against Israel, they were just beyond belief. It looked as though they were going to get absolutely slaughtered. But King Jehoshaphat was a good king and a very wise king. And he cried out to the Lord. And in verse 12, he said this to the Lord. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. What a humble man. What a humble man. He knew he didn't have the ability. He knew those armies were bigger and greater than he had. He knew he didn't have the knowledge to win over the enemy. But he knew God did. And so his eyes were on him. And look how God responds in verse 17. I love this. He said, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Everyone say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Okay, now think about any difficult situation you might be facing at the moment. We need to recognize our battle is in the spirit realm, and we need to take our position through believing and speaking. Stand firm and wait. to see the deliverance the Lord will give. And like Jehoshaphat, often actually we need to face the enemy. You know, the enemy operating through people or the enemy operating through circumstances. And we do what he tells us to do. And we say what he tells us to say. And we don't need to be afraid or discouraged, do we, church? Because who's with us? The Lord will be with you. The Lord is with us. And like Moses, we endure as seeing the invisible. So what are you seeing? Really? Come on. What are you looking at? What has your attention? We need to look at him. I love Psalm 105. It says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Lord, what are you saying to me? What should I do? My eyes are on you. How are you leading? And do you know what? Let me say this. God's a speaking God, but sometimes for some reason he goes a bit quiet. Often, I've found in my experience, he goes quiet because I haven't done the last thing he told me to do. Top tip. But anyway, if you haven't heard anything, do what you know to do. Okay? Like the soldier that's already trained and knows that if I'll do what I know to do, I'll win. We need to do what we know to do. In Philippians 3, after those brilliant verses about pressing towards the goal for the upward call, it says in verse 16, only let us live up to what we've already attained. In other words, do what you know to do. Act on what you know to do. Do you know, knowing the word of God isn't that helpful? I know that's kind of an odd thing to say. It's helpful in the sense that we can confess it, but knowledge is not enough. We need to do it. We need to do what we know to do. And here's three little verses that we know to do, right? To keep strong and stable and actually to keep the power of God working in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that look impossible? I mean, let's face it, I remember reading that, and sometimes still now I look at that and think, really? But it's impossible for the natural man, isn't it? Before you were born again, that was impossible. But we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And if we will make the choice to do this, even when our flesh doesn't want to, we've got to be like King David with our flesh. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, tell your flesh what to do. And if we make the start, you know, the Holy Spirit then gives us his ability to continue. And somehow, we don't even know how. Somehow, supernaturally, we get changed in the process. As you just start praising when you're feeling rubbish and your circumstances are screaming, you know, you just start to rejoice. You start to praise. The heaviness falls off, doesn't it? You start to pray in the Spirit. Somehow, you build up your faith. You don't know how it happens. It just happens. You know, you start to give thanks and you enter his gates. Suddenly you become aware of the presence of God. You know, God is with me, like Moses. God's attracted to thankful people. He really is. I know that myself. I'm sure you know that. You know, the Bible tells us, present your requests with thanksgiving. Pray vigilantly with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is really important in God's book. You know, he's attracted to thanksgiving because thanksgiving is an attitude of faith, isn't it? The opposite of thanksgiving, of course, is complaining. And our flesh loves to complain, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Loves a good whinge. Poor me. Bless me. Do you know how bad it is for me at the moment? And the Bible says, don't fret. It only causes harm. You know, complaining, it kind of can come out of anxiety about the situation. But also, sometimes the root of complaining can be envy. They got it so much better and easier than I have. You know, other people, what they have and what you don't have. Or even selfish ambition, self-seeking, things that you want, your own desires. what you want, what you need, what you think you deserve, even. But look at what the Bible says about this. It's a humdinger. James 3, verse 16. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Yikes. Isn't that awful? Because we just think it's just a bit of a harmless whinge, you know, a bit of a poor me moment. But it actually attracts the demonic. So if you're confused that you're not seeing the blessing of God in your life, confused why things aren't working for you at the moment, maybe, just maybe, you've dipped into a bit of a poor me mode, self-pity mode. We need to stop complaining and be really militant, not allow ourselves to complain, not allow ourselves to look at others and feel sorry for ourselves, because it attracts the demonic. Thanksgiving will attract the Lord. Complaining, envy, self-seeking attracts the enemy. And we can't ask the Lord to deliver us like King Jehoshaphat and be speaking his language. Complaining, blaming, all the nasties. Can't do it. We need to just turn back to the Lord and say, I am sorry. I am thankful. Start to give thanks. Count your blessings. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I can walk. I can talk. I can see. I can hear. I've got some money in the bank. A roof over my head. Come on. Start somewhere. Give thanks. Okay? Do it his way. And don't let this, you know, the Bible says, don't let this be a tap for bitter water and sweet. With the same mouth, you praise God and curse men. Don't do it. Don't do it. We've got to get a grip. Just say to yourself, get a grip. Get a grip. Exercise self-control because we can. It's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Give thanks for what you have. And God will give the increase. Just like with the bread and fish. Give thanks for the small. God will multiply it. He's attracted to a thankful attitude. Now, I want to finish where I started with the soldier. No soldier goes out to battle unarmed. That would just be stupid, wouldn't it? So we need to get armed and we need to get strong because, you know, Peter warns us, our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to get armed and we need to get strong so that that someone won't be you, that someone won't be me. And we need to build strength in today. Ready for tomorrow. Because storms will come. Jesus promised it. You know, and if not tomorrow, maybe the next day or the day after that. But one thing's for sure, trouble will come. But look at what he says, the kind of next part of that, John 16, 33. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't we love that? And because he's overcome, where is he? In us. Where are we? In him. Okay, we can overcome. We don't always, but we can. It's possible for us. His plan is never for us to be victims. Okay, storms come, but he doesn't want us to be victims in it, just struggling through the best we can. He's created us actually to be like him. Mighty in battle. Amen. Victorious over the schemes of the enemy. We've actually got everything we need to live a supernatural life. Not to go down like our non-Christian friends and family and work colleagues do, but to stay stable, buoyant, head above our enemies. Okay, minds and emotions, stable. Even when circumstances are raging, it's possible. We just need to look at him. Like Jehoshaphat, our eyes are on you. Look at him. Listen to him. Lord, what are you saying? Get a faith picture from God in your heart. Carry it around with you. Believe it and speak it. Speak it to the Lord. When the enemy lies and says, you know, this picture of disaster and loss, speak it to the enemy. Speak it to yourself. Speak it to your friends. Speak it to your work colleagues, even your husband, your wife. Speak it to your dog. My dog knows so much of what God's going to do, you wouldn't believe it. And he agrees a lot of the time, bless him. Do you know, just speak it, speak it, speak it, speak it to the thin air. Speak it out. Did you know God's going to do this? I walk along with my dog. Did you know God's going to do this? And he'll just look at me, really sort of blank expression. But, you know, it's building faith. By the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. I'd like you to stand to your feet. And raise your hand if you're going through a tough time at the moment. Maybe it's your job, maybe it's home life, maybe it's health, finances, the lies of the enemy, undermining and attacking you, causing you to be anxious. Anybody going to be honest and raise a hand? Okay, pretty much all of us. Now, the situation you're facing may look a mess, but remember when God looked at the earth, you know, it was a waste, formless, empty waste. But he wasn't affected by that negative mess. He saw through faith eyes and he spoke. Okay, he looked beyond those negative circumstances, saw through the eyes of faith, spoke what he wanted to see. Now, it's highly likely that you know the will of God already for your situation. And I'm just going to read a verse from Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So God wants us to imitate him. Do it like he does it. Say it like he says it. Get a faith picture. The mountain moved. The scenery changed. Things looking different. And believe and speak. What I've got for you, if we can have the next slide, I've just written down a few examples of the enemy's work, really, to maybe help you identify what's going on, the killing, stealing and destroying that might be going on in your circumstances. So strife, sickness, deception, lies, fear, anxiety, poverty, lack, self-pity, doubt, double-mindedness, unbelief, you know, all sorts of things. And maybe what's going on in your life isn't in that list, but you know, you'll know what's going on. But whatever it is, we're going to submit to God afresh. And we're going to resist the devil this morning. And you know what has to happen? He has to flee. We don't flee. He flees. Okay? So just bow your head and close your eyes. Just take a moment to pray. Just submit your life, your circumstances afresh to him. Tell him, "Lord, I give you my present. I ask you to be Lord of it. I give you my future. I ask you to be Lord of it. I give you my circumstances. As complicated as they are, I just hand them over to you and I ask you to be Lord of them." If there's something weighing heavy on your heart that you know you need to repent of, I just want to encourage you, do it now. Unless you do, you won't have authority over the enemy. Just get right with God in this moment. It's just a simple sorry from the heart. Forgive me. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you as we confess our sins. You are faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm just going to read this Mark 23 again. "Assuredly, I say to you," just take this as Jesus speaking to you personally this morning, "whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, we're just going to resist the enemy. And I just simply want you to say, "Devil, I resist you. Mountain of whatever it is, deception, get out. Be removed in Jesus' name. Mountain of sickness, get out. Be removed in Jesus' name. Fear, get out. Be removed in Jesus' name." Just whatever your thing is, your opposition, just say, "In the name of Jesus, get out. Be removed in Jesus' name." Be vocal, church, because we need to believe and speak. We will have whatever we say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we will refute. This is the heritage, our heritage. We're servants. your servants, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. By faith, the enemy has fled from us. We believe it. We thank you for it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. But in your name, they have to flee, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe you receive them, you will have them. I just like you to get into twos and threes now and pray together and agree together for the will of God now in your circumstances, the blessing of God, healing, deliverance, a gift of wisdom to do life differently, new opportunities, whatever it might be, whatever you're needing God to do, just get together, pray and ask the Lord to do it. Thank you, Jesus.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.